Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Advisor. We are deep into Dr. Yvette Rose's series with us, where she has taken us down this beautiful metaphysical path. And I really invite you to go back and listen to the other episodes. We talked about grief, we talked about broken heart syndrome, we talked about so many different things that are different and are really affecting your energy. Today we have a really, really interesting topic, and she is so brilliant at this stuff. I'm so excited to talk about this. So we're about to talk about how the body communicates and how to communicate back. So different parts of our bodies are actually speaking to us, and they mean different things. So she's going to teach us more about that and how to communicate with the body. And so just quickly, so Dr. Yvette Rose, she's a holistic counselor, and she's an internationally celebrated trauma recovery expert and the best-selling author of Metaphysical Anatomy and more than 20 other books that map the hidden emotional roots of 722 physical conditions. So her work turns complex mind-body science into clear self-healing roadmaps. Before we begin, I just want to say thank you to Dr. Bradley Nelson and iHeartRadio for your sponsorship. And to our audience and our fans, we love you. Please do not forget to like and subscribe. It's so wonderful to have you back. Good morning. And again, you look so beautiful, so vibrant. Thank you. As always.
Thank you so much for that amazing introduction, Lisa. I really appreciate it. I feel like a red carpet has been rolled out.
Yes, well, you deserve one. The work that you're doing is so amazing. And to teach people these things that we should have been taught when we were like in kindergarten and all through grade school, it's so maddening to me that, you know, I'm 40 and I'm just really learning the importance of all this stuff now. How the world would be different if we knew this so much earlier.
So true. It really would make the world of a difference. But what I'm seeing now recently as well is more kids are actually being taught meditation in school. Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, that warms my heart. Totally.
Yeah, it's very beautiful. So at least there's some wave that's taking place where it is being done right. So I do hope and I wish to see more of that for sure.
Yeah, I feel like the metaphysical holistic leader types are taking charge and are really starting to push this stuff and say, you know what? No, like this works and we need to teach our new generation this stuff in order for them to, you know, continue hiring the level of consciousness that our world is seeing. Yeah. It actually is pretty cool. It's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. So let's talk about the body and how it communicates and the different parts. And so interesting to me. Where do you want to begin?
So let's start with really simplifying it, because I know it might sound a little bit unusual at first. People always find like, I have to talk to the body? Yes, because when you can learn to start to talk your body almost like as if it's like a friend, it's like a partner, it's like a guide. But here's also the truth with that. Your body is already talking to you. It's not that we actually have to initiate anything, because every ache, every tension, every symptom, it's really truly already a message all in itself. And when we start to learn, Lisa, how to listen and how to respond, that is when we really start to discover how the body holds not just trauma and stress, but actually wisdom. And that wisdom is also healing wisdom. The body knows how to heal. It sometimes just gets stuck like we all do in life. So I would love to talk you and everyone else through today is to touch on why does the body hold emotions, and especially negative emotions? They stay stuck, right? It's like the positive ones just they just slide through us. The negative ones just sticks, right? And then how different body parts can actually also carry different emotional stories. And then the most important part is how to actually talk to your body in a way that can start to actually open up that door for real healing. So, why does the body store emotions? Because emotions are not just feelings. They're actually neurochemical events and very somatic, visceral, physical experiences as well. So that's, for example, I'm sure you've had moments when you felt sadness, when you felt joy, fear, and anger. This is when our nervous system, it lights up. Our hormones starts to shift. And sometimes even our muscles can start to tense or they relax. And your heart rate starts to change, right? The that heart palpitations, or suddenly, or maybe it feels really relaxed. So what happens is when our emotions don't get expressed or they don't get released in a healthy way, they're not just going to disappear. And we've learned that. They get stored and they become what we would call emotional imprints. It's like almost frozen in the nervous system. And it waits there until we feel safe enough to process them. As an example, let's say a child that's told not to cry, they learn to freeze, right? They learn to freeze. And then that grief that they feel, that sadness also freezes in the body. Now, that frozen imprint can actually maybe show up decades later, such as maybe fatigue, chest tightness, and even digestive problems. And neuroscience also supports this. So when we look, for example, at the polyvagal theory, it shows that when we cannot fight or flee, the nervous system often goes into that freeze response. It's like that locking in of emotions.
Yeah, I'm picturing
So,
like
right,
closing off,
exactly.
protecting, like
Yeah. And then sometimes that freeze also, we collapse. So we feel powerless. We feel helpless. That's when we start to feel, and sometimes how that shows up in our life is like, I'm not motivated anymore. I just want to give up on everything. Why am I even doing this? Why am I even trying? I think we all, to certain extent, maybe not everyone, but most of us, I know I have definitely been through these tough waves, right? So, and what I learned through these processes when I started to help people to decode their body, that each part of your body actually has a unique way of holding emotion. So, for example, when we look at the lungs, they are the keepers of what I would call grief. But they also, like, such as unprocessed grief, that those times where you wanted to cry, but you didn't, and you held it in. So when I look at clients with breathing problems, it normally means that there's a lot of unacknowledged sadness. The lungs also hold the energy of it's safe to breathe, meaning it's safe to be alive. So sometimes when I see people with lung challenges, especially asthma, either they or there's an inherited trauma that's coming in relationship to my environment or the love that I need doesn't feel safe. I need to hide. So it's that contraction of wanting to be small, not wanting to be heard, right? So and they tend to use almost like a quarter of the lung capacity. So sometimes what we can do in cases like that is when our lung starts to feel a little bit unsettled. And I find people with bronchitis, people anything to do with the lungs, that's a clear sign of suppressed grief. And sometimes something in our environment triggered that suppressed grief, something that made us feel sad as a result of environmental stimuli or interactions in our relationships. But it's also tapping on prior sadness that's been there and suppressed, and it ruffles that up as well. Because sometimes what happens is we know when we feel an emotion, the subconscious mind also tries to decode it. Oh, when was the last time I felt that? Let's go through the archive of memories. So what happens is when you feel sadness, it goes through the subconscious mind, and the body now is a re-experiencing other moments of sadness because these biochemical messages are being released as the subconscious mind is now trying to decode and decipher what this kind of sadness is and when have I felt this before, because it's helping us to relate to our environment. Now, this very highly intelligent system is also triggering and re-triggering older pain that's now coming forward as well. But we don't always consciously realize that what I'm feeling in that moment is not just a sadness in relationship to that person who had hurt me. There's another wave of old sadness that's coming up as well, but we don't realize it.
What's coming up for me is remembering times when, you know, and the audience is going to be able to relate to this, when something triggered me and then I started crying and then I couldn't stop crying. And it was like something that like minuscule compared to like the trauma that was coming out of my body, like sobbing deep grief and being like, what the heck, where is this coming from?
Exactly. And thank you for that. Thank you for being so vulnerable and sharing that, because it's, I call that the avalanche, right? So that's when that tiny little thing just ticked the iceberg, and then there's this incredibly big release. Now, what's also beautiful about that moment is that even though it was an upsetting moment, what's beautiful is that your body felt safe enough in that moment to say, I actually feel safe to process this other stuff as well. So that's why that big release actually came. So in a way, when that happens, for everyone else listening, embrace that, because that actually means that your body finally feels safe to let go and to gently start to regulate itself from carrying that heavy burden of prior moments of upset and sadness and suppression as well. So it's wonderful that you actually allowed yourself to have that, as stressful as it sometimes might feel for us, because I've had these, you know, these moments where you just, you know, you can barely catch your breath and you're deeply saddened and you're crying, but it's also so incredibly cathartic. It's like this incredible release at the same time, and just allowing it to take place in that moment, because most people would feel out of control. But when you do feel that feeling of out of control coming up, it's important to just come back to the breath and just realize that your body is doing what it's designed to do. We don't realize that crying is a natural healing cycle. It's a natural regulation cycle of the body. But look, the negative associations that we have associated with that. We get spanked when we cry. We get yelled at when we cry. We get shamed when we cry. It's mean, but here's the challenge. Now we start to associate feeling unsafe with the body's natural ability and capacity to actually release stress so that it can regulate itself. That's a problem. And then we wonder now, why don't I get better? Why do I cry and cry, but I don't feel better? The body cannot fully discharge because it doesn't feel safe. We know that the nervous system is not going to fully regulate itself if it doesn't feel safe.
Yeah, so, there's this belief that if you cry, it's not good or it's wrong. And then the body's like, I don't know what to do.
That's exactly what happens. That's exactly what happens. But then apart from sadness, that can, let's use another example. It can lead to frustration. Now we can feel really angry, right? Because maybe anger also, because we feel angry because we can't let it out. We know we want to, but we cannot. But then it can trigger prior feelings of feeling angry as well when it wasn't safe to express yourself. Now that anger can go sit right in your heart, and it can also sit in our liver. Anger also tends to sit in our arms and legs because that's connected to the fight response. Anger is deeply connected to our instinctive fight and flight, but in this case, to fight. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to go out and box and fight, but it's that aggressive streak, right? But we suppress it. We hold it back. Now, The other challenge with anger is when it doesn't get expressed properly, it can show up as hormonal issues, migraines, fatigue, muscle spasms, back pain, neck pain. And so when people come to me and they have issues in these parts of the body, I always, always see that it's not just anger that's the problem, but they have boundary issues, meaning they have trouble saying no. They have trouble expressing their needs. So it's not that this is an angry person. That's not what it is. But there's anger as a result also of another combined emotional distress. And normally in this case, it's boundaries. And I see these people often collapsing under their boundaries or feeling I always have to fight for my truth. I have to fight for my boundaries. I have to fight for my success. So there's a very strong, I have to push and fight forward in life. And these parts, like that's why, we start having these migraines, or the liver starts to struggle as a result, or there's a lot of anxiety in the heart palpitations as well. In my case, it was a stress-induced heart attack because that's how my suppressed anger started to create its exit. So my body just said, no, I don't want to hold this strong emotion anymore. And it's interesting because we fight for what we want, and all these emotions get stuck in the body. But at the end of the day, what are we fighting for? It's either happiness, success, freedom. But it's really hard to feel all these positive outcomes when you're angry the whole time. So what we don't realize is how we're actually pushing away the very thing that we want, keeping us locked in these vicious cycles. And when we start to live our life in that place where we keep pushing away what we want, you can only imagine the fear that this can start to create because I'm never going to get there. It's never going to come to me. I'm always losing, right? So it becomes this whole self-fulfilling prophecy. And that chronic fear can start to end, and normally subconscious. It's not that we consciously feel that. But this can come forward as hypervigilance, feeling unsupported. And that can turn into, for example, maybe resentment. And these are all just hypothetical scenarios, but that can turn into resentment. And that resentment's going to go sit right there in your gallbladder and in your kidneys. So kidney stones, that's a hardening of the attitude. That is when it's almost like we started to adapt to that resentment, became now resistance. And our new boundary in life is resistance instead of just a healthy no. Right. So, and it's incredible how one issue can lead into the next, because I'm sure you have had, bloatedness, you have had your gut challenges. I definitely have, irritable bowel syndrome. Right, all of this. And this is irritable bowel syndrome is actually a psychosomatic condition. It's not actually a medical condition that if you go to the hospital, they say, oh, that's what it is. They go, oh, it's a range of a lot of things. So we'll just call it irritable bowel syndrome, which means it's caused by emotions. So, yeah. And so when we look at that, we know, and depending if it's the stomach, the small intestines, or the colon, stomach always means that we have unresolved trauma or wounds with nurturing figures. Normally, it can be a mother. Small intestines, if the stress is there, if the bloatedness is there, this is how safe do I feel? How accepted do I feel in my family unit? And if we look at the colon, how safe do I feel with my father? Do we have a good connection? Is there conflict? Is there maybe rejection? So that stress will go and enlarge itself right there. So that means if you go and you have a relationship later in life and your partner resembles a lot of stress that you had with your father, you're going to feel issues potentially flaring up in your colon again, because that's where it's held and that's where the emotions are going to be triggered again. And then what you're feeling in that relationship, new relationship, will just be added to what you're having. And this can show up as constipation, as an example. It's like you feel like I'm doing everything right, my diet's great, I exercise, but why is my body not responding? So, right? And so this is incredibly powerful how emotions just have their specific places of showing up in the body. And I noticed when I was writing, when I wrote Metaphysical Anatomy, that big book that you talked about earlier of 722 medical ailments, what blew me away is how this, the placement of these emotions It's universal. It's
Oh, wow.
universal for most people. And so, of course, also when we look at, I mean, I don't know if you can relate to this, where there's been moments where you wanted to say something or speak your truth, but you hold back, and then you feel your throat tightens up. You just feel that tension that's there. Maybe it
Yeah,
will
is
go
that
away
like a tightness in
eventually.
the neck and in the jaw? Is that, does it show up as
Right.
jaw? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, because that's also where we express our words. So it can come up in the jaw, it can come up in the throat. And this is all, and this is normally where we can ask the body, well, what words am I swallowing? Right. So what is it that I feel unsafe to express? And the thyroid gets affected as well because this, the thyroid is all about control. So when you have thyroid challenges, where do you feel overly controlled or where do you feel out of control in your life? So hyperactive, that would be where do you feel overly controlled or maybe you are overly controlling of something? And if it's underactive, where do you feel you have lost control? Right. So it's incredible when I look at people, when we start to dive into what the body is saying, the power of what can come forward in that message. Because the biggest sign that you might be having a psychosomatic condition, and keep in mind, it should never, ever be skipped to go to a doctor. Always go to a doctor first. Always make sure that you cover all your tracks to make sure that you don't just assume that a condition could be stress related. There could be an underlying medical challenge, right? So it's always best to check with the doctor first. But for example, when I had a lot of stress, sometimes I'll have a skin rash coming up. And I'm thinking, wow, that's really interesting that when everything was going fine, I didn't have that. So what is my body go? What is my body trying to say? So there's clearly something that stressed me out enough that impacted my immune system and it's now showing up on my skin. So who or what's irritating you? Because your skin is a boundary between you and the world. So there's something between that in your someone in your environment that's maybe just really bugging you and you, and again, it comes back to boundaries. So I find that boundaries combined with the emotional stress that you're feeling tends th they tend to be best friends because the reason why emotions often overlap to a point where it becomes or spirals out of control is not all cases, but in most cases, it's because of a boundary failure. Now, granted, there are situations where we just maybe cannot express a boundary properly. It could be a work setting. You might be standing on a stage in front of people. There are situations where we just cannot correct that boundary, right? So, but what's important and what the body is trying to tell you is don't let these stress factors, don't let them slide. Don't keep piling them up into that, into this bag full of stones that we now start to carry with ourselves and is dragging us down. And it's really important to learn and understand that emotions are not there to make you feel miserable. They're actually designed to help you to live your best life. It's just a matter of what are we going to do with this message when it comes forward. So when you start to listen to these messages, and what works really well is to actually place your hand on the area where you would feel this pain. And if you feel emotional stress, always bring it back to the body. So when I feel that anxiety, when I feel that fear, where in my body do I feel it? Where do I feel a heavy presence maybe? Where do I feel my awareness is just spontaneously drawn? And what works really well before we do that is to actually maybe just meditate. Just meditate, come back to your breath, just have a few minutes of just silence. Just get out of that rat race. And then what I love to do is to ask the body, what is the message? Now, here's the thing. It's not going to tell you in the way that I'm speaking to you right now. It's not going to be necessarily that clean cut.
Can
But
you
what it
imagine?
will do is it will get you right. It's not that simple. But what it will do is it will come forward in sensations, often flashes, maybe colors, maybe flashes of images, maybe snippets of video clips, or it will give you, maybe it will trigger maybe certain memories that you're like, well, what does that memory have to do with this? Well, let's explore that. How do you feel when you connect to that memory? Because maybe what the body's trying to tell you is, I feel similar in relationship to that event. right? This is what I may be holding. Now, the catch here is don't expect your answers to come forward a certain way. Because when we sit there and we expect, what am I going to hear? What am I going to hear? We have over six senses, or at least five, six senses. Now, what about all the other senses? If you're focused on just it coming forward in one sense, you're actually filtering out all the other senses and the ways that it could potentially have come forward there. So it's really important to be open-minded. What do I hear, feel, see, or sense? And when you go through all your senses in terms of how your body's responding, how you are feeling, and to be comfortable with the discomfort that you might feel. And the best way to do that is to actually allow that discomfort to be there. Because the moment you allow it, like fully allow it to be there, you will notice and feel it loses its power. It only becomes stronger when you fight against it and when you resist it. Because now we're energizing it. We actually energize it by trying to resist it, and we don't realize that. So we lock it in and it becomes stronger and louder. But when you allow and you let go, now you give space to it and just allow it to just, it's almost like imagining it becoming like a river and it's just flowing through you and out of you. And that's when we really need to listen intuitively, connect with our senses. What do we hear, feel, see, or sense? So that's a really beautiful way to listen. And the biggest mistake that a lot of people make when they connect to their body, when they try to feel into it, is, oh, that's stupid. I got something, yes, but I don't think that's valid. So they push it away, right? So that doubt that starts to creep.
5 years ago, it can't be that,
right? Exactly. And I have done that as well. And the more we can just allow and accept what the body just needs to say and not judge that, because when the body is in pain, the last thing that it needs is to be judged. Just like when you are in state of distress, the last thing that you need are people judging you, right? What you need is to be understood. What you need is to be heard. And the body is the same. It might not have the same conscious intelligence as what we would with the frontal cortex, everything intact. The body's consciousness has a different way of feeling and sensing its way through life with us. But that judgment, it creates, how can I almost say? It's almost like it creates a block in that flow between your dynamic and the body. I wouldn't want to open up to anyone if I feel judged and rejected by them. You're not going to want to open up. And the body creates that feeling of it locks when you judge it, when you attack it. So to create that safe space between you and your body is really important. Now, I talk about you and the body, so it sounds like two separate entities. In truth, it's one. However, we have what's called the consciousness of the body, and then we have consciousness of the soul. So consciousness of the soul is the part of us that's not attached to ego, you know, being successful, money, having kids, you know, all these human biological needs. That's the part of us that's connected to our intuition, our higher wisdom, that where there's not really a lot of attachment. I mean, barely any attachment. But the biology of the body, this is where we have attachment. This is where we have ego, anger, you know, all of these instinctive responses. So it's very primal. So we have these two levels of consciousness that we're trying to blend and bring together. And when there's coherence between these two, that is when we really truly can start to tap into our intuition accurately and filter that through and allow these messages to come through in the body. And the beautiful way to connect these two is in that moment of something as simple as meditation, breath work, coming back to a safe space, even if it's just 5-10 minutes a day, but just coming back to the body and just giving it that few minutes that it needs to express itself. Because if we don't, that pain is going to get louder. That ailment is going to start to feel nastier. It's not all cases that emotions could, you know, contribute to or cause an ailment. But let me tell you, I'm sure that you've noticed how stress can exacerbate the symptoms of an ailment, right? Now, I call it stress, but what is underneath that stress? It's emotions. We just call it stress because we cannot identify in most cases what is the specific emotion. So this is where we want to start to strengthen and bridge that gap by building our awareness of our body's sensations, to build awareness of when I feel stress, what else do I feel? What other emotions are there with that stress so that we can start to decode and unpack what this message is trying to tell us? Because with that awareness and decoding it in that way, in a safe way, all the power to you. Because when we can understand a problem with that clarity, that is when we start applying the right solutions to our problems. And that is how you create lasting change. So
Thank you
I
so
hope for
much.
everyone that helps. That helped. And let me tell you, it was not an overnight process, not for me either. Absolutely not. This came for me also with practice. And still, sometimes there's days where I'm sitting and I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm not getting this right. I'm just not getting this right. But that's because I'm rushing through it. So the biggest challenge is to slow down that racing mind, to slow down those racing emotions, and to just feel safe, to just come into the present moment and just take a deep breath, not having to do anything, not having to be anywhere, not having to think about anything. Now that sounds like luxury, but that's also in that place. In that place, that's where the real magic happens.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much for being here. I know that you're a little short on time today, so I want to be cognizant of that for you. But that was so beautiful. The body's communicating to us, and we can pay attention to that. And your book is such a beautiful illustration of that. So I really, really encourage you guys to pick up Metaphysical Anatomy. Because it'll illustrate all of these things and so much more.
I think it's, yeah, this big one. This is what Lisa's talking about. It's a big one. It's also in Kindle.
Beautiful. Gosh, it was so lovely to see you. Thank you so
You
much for
too,
being here and
Lisa.
for decoding the body.
Yay, it was awesome. And thank you to everyone else as well.
Yes, thank you guys for joining us. Please do not forget to like and subscribe before you leave today and start listening to your body. It's speaking to you all day long. Start paying attention. Take care, everyone. Bye.